This is Digital Story Podcast number 989, March 4th, 2025. Today's theme is A Day in the City with the OM3. I'm Derek Story. Like many of you, the OM System OM3 was delivered to my doorstep this last Friday. What perfect timing! I had an all-day adventure in San Francisco lined up with the family on Saturday. I charged up the battery, mounted the 14-42 Easy Zoom, and hit the road. What happened next surprised even this seasoned Micro Four Thirds photographer. Find out why on this week's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. Many of us have wanted for some time now a Micro Four Thirds update for urban photography, for travel photography, for roaming around urban environments such as San Francisco and other big cities, small cities, back roads of the world. And the OM1 is a lovely camera. I used it in Costa Rica, had a great time, came home with great shots. But it's not what I would call an urban camera. It's, you know, that protruding big grip, which feels so good when you've got a big telephoto lens on there, is not exactly jacket friendly. And just the way that it's set up, not exactly what I wanted in the city. Now, a lot of people, and myself included, were thinking that we wanted a Pen-F Mark II. And of course, right, the Pen-F being the beloved Micro Four Thirds camera from years past, that was perfect for city photography, urban photography, all that good stuff. However, what OM System decided to deliver was something in between the Pen-F and, you know, a regular Olympus SLR-styled camera. And what we got was the OM3. And I was thinking that when the OM3 came out, and of course I've talked about it on this podcast earlier, but my talking about it was based on meetings with OM System, going over the specs, making sure I got all the technical stuff right, you know, all that good stuff. On paper, it's a fantastic camera because it's basically as smart as the OM1 Mark II, but it is in a body that, well, just feels more pocketable, more city-friendly, easier to keep out of the way, all that good stuff. I was happy about it. I knew that this is something that OM System had to do, but I wasn't in love with it when I saw it, you know, in the various PDFs and Zoom meetings and all the stuff that we did. That was until the camera arrived. Okay, so it shows up. It comes in this very plain brown cardboard box, right? I mean, obviously, Apple did not design their packaging. And I was getting a loaner for just the camera itself, no lens, no anything else. So I open up the box and the camera's in there. A strap is in there, a USB-C cord, and a battery. That was it. In the old days, or even with the OM1, we would also get a little electronic flash. And those mini electronic flashes that Olympus / OM System design are, to me, marvels, because not only are they light and small, and they, you know, they clip on, they don't take up much room, but they actually have a bounce head as well. Usually with clip-on flashes, you just get this little direct flash, which is good for a little fill light, but these guys actually have a bounce head. Now, those little flashes, and those of us that have Olympus cameras probably have one around, they work perfectly with the OM3. And maybe that's why we didn't get one in the box. But you don't get one of those in the box. And you also don't get a charger for the battery. And we're just not seeing those anymore. Those are almost always a separate item. And this is because the cameras can be charged via USB-C. So they go, hey, we'll just give them a cord. If they want an extra battery charger, then they can do that themselves. So I pull out the camera, put a lens on it, and I look through the viewfinder, and this is at the studio, right? And I look through the viewfinder, everything looks beautiful, nice and clear. I'm feeling very comfortable, very familiar. First thing I wanted to figure out, believe it or not, was the computational photography button on the back. And I was trying to figure it out at the studio, and I was going, okay, I would just press it and I would expect something to happen, but nothing was happening. And I finally had to fool around with it to realize that you press the button and then you rotate the front dial, and then it will show you the computational photography modes that are available to you in whatever exposure mode you're in, and probably lens has something to do with it too. So I figured that out, and that was pretty cool. The front button, you know, the front dial that has the art filters and the color setting and the mono setting, I already knew how to work that because I had a Pen-F and it works exactly the same. Except now we have more choices. We have even more choices than we had with the Pen-F, which is one of the bonuses with the OM3. There's just a bit more of everything. I got pretty familiar with it, and I was going, I like it. I like this camera. It feels good. It's small. Gosh, you know, I set it down on the table next to the Nikon ZF with, quote unquote, its pancake lens on there. And the size difference was substantial. The OM3 is super pocketable, especially with a pancake lens on there. And I'm using the 14 to 42 zoom for this trip to San Francisco. Although I have, as you probably have guessed, I have a million Micro Four Thirds lenses. I could put just about anything on there. Charged up the battery, and I want to make a note about the battery right now. One of the very, very smart things that OM System did for this camera is that we have the same nice big battery that we have for the OM-1. And it is a hefty battery. But what they were able to do was put that big battery, fit that in this very petite body. What that means, and what I found out after shooting all day in San Francisco, a lot of times with the camera just left on because I was doing street photography, is that this battery feels like it lasts forever. When I left home, I had about a 95% charge on the battery because I've been fooling around at the studio and playing with it. When I got home that night, about 10 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, I had 52% left on that battery after being out there all day. So this is one of the pluses that, you know, didn't really register with me when I'm in the meetings before the camera's release and you're looking at stuff. You go, oh, it has the same battery as the OM-1. I was thinking that's great for convenience, right? Because you can interchange the batteries. You get another battery with this camera. I was thinking of it in those terms, but I was not thinking of it in terms of efficiency. And wow. For a street photographer who's going to be out all day and not have to put a second battery in his or her pocket, that's really nice. That was really nice. And that was one of the first aha moments I had with the camera. So I head off to San Francisco. I'm going to be there all day with Teresa and the boys. We had a lovely day planned. We're going to hang out over in the Fisherman Wharf area. I'm going to walk along the water. Just, you know, have all this fun stuff. And then we're going to go over to the Palace of Fine Arts and we're going to see Brian Regan, the comedian, there for an early show, a 6 or 6:30 p.m. show. So we went over to the Palace of the Fine Arts an hour early or so because it's such a wonderful place to wander around and for me, a wonderful place to take pictures. So I got to shoot all around the Fisherman Wharf area, all around, you know, the marine biology place, all that good stuff. And then I got to shoot also all around the Palace of Fine Arts. So I had a combination of street photography and architectural photography and family photography and everything else. It was way cool. It was perfect for this camera. And we had a nice day. It wasn't too bright, but there was sun. It was enjoyable as heck. I'm going to talk about the pictures in just a second. but I'm going to address the number one question I've had from people about the OM3 before we get to the actual pictures themselves. And the pictures, you know, being one of the most important parts. So people ask me, without the front grip, how does it feel when you're carrying it around? Now, I did not use a neck strap on purpose because I really wanted to carry the camera all day so that I could answer this question. How does it feel when you carry it all day? So you have a back thumb rest on the back. That's very good. And where the thumb rests. And then I have a wrist strap, a very nice wrist strap, actually, from Olympus. I got it with the Pen F when I was testing the Pen F. A lovely leather-esque wrist strap. My thumb, my right thumb on the back of the camera, a wrist strap around my right wrist. And then what I noticed that I was doing as I was carrying the camera, I had my index finger wrapped around the front dial. And this is the dial where you have the art filters and the mono setting and all that stuff, that little creative dial that's in the front of the camera. So even though there isn't a grip per se, I had no problem carrying it around all day. Now, the camera's light and it's small, so it's not exactly taxing my arms, right? And that just putting my finger around that little dial with the thumb rest in the back was perfect. It was absolutely perfect, and I could carry it and carry it and carry it. Now, the thing that I'm responding to people about is that it's just a matter of time before Small Rig, you know, the third-party company, comes out with a cool little grip for this camera. We know they're going to do it. But I'm not actually in a rush for that to happen because of this technique that I use, just wrapping my index finger around that front dial, works out great. Didn't get tired, none of that stuff. So that's my answer to this camera. And the nice thing is, if that continues to be fine for me, then I don't even have to add any bulk to it with an additional grip or an additional accessory. Those of you who have this camera now, and especially when you have a light lens, I was using the 14-42 Easy Zoom, which I highly, highly recommend with this camera. It is compact. The two just work together beautifully. And make sure that you get the auto lens cap for the 14-42, which means that when the camera is off, the lens cap has it covered and the front lens protected. And then when you turn it on, the lens cap automatically opens. This thing is brilliant. Everyone hates paying the extra $35 for this lens cap until they get it. And then once they get it, which means that when the camera's off, the lens is protected. When the camera's on, it's automatically open. And it makes this camera as close to a high quality point and shoot as a camera could be, but it has so much more in terms of features and color and resolution than, you know, most point and shoots. The 14-42 Easy with the auto lens cap, that's all I brought. I didn't bring an extra battery. I didn't bring any other lenses. I didn't bring an extra memory card. I was ready to go. So I'm walking around all day, just snapping pictures. First of all, no one was paying attention to me at all with this camera. It was very discreet. When I got home, I'm going to fast forward to when I got home and then we'll come back to some more shooting experience. When I got home and first opened up this gallery in Lightroom, and the reason why I chose Lightroom is because Lightroom can show me both the JPEGs and the RAW files. Right now, other than OM System's own software, I believe this is the only application that can show me the RAW files for the OM3. So I could see the RAW files and the JPEGs in Lightroom. Just regular Lightroom, not Lightroom Classic is what, although Lightroom Classic would work too. The first thing that I noticed was how colorful the color shots are. The color is just absolutely beautiful. These are some of the most colorful in a good way. Now, I don't mean over the top. I mean good color JPEGs I have seen maybe ever. The street cars, the street scenes, the neutral tones. I have one shot. I think it's a 15th birthday celebration for the one that had the big beautiful dress on and then her friends. And her friends were various shades of brown, Hispanic, Black, Indian. I mean, there were all these different shades of brown. And the thing that really jumped out at me when I looked at the picture, because they all had dresses on so you could see their legs, was how well the OM3 distinguished these different shades of brown so that each woman was an individual. Their skin tones were very distinct. And I go, oh my gosh, this is amazing to me, just how beautifully it rendered that color. The girl having the birthday celebration was in pink, and her gown is just absolutely beautiful. And again, the color is spot on. The other girls were wearing white dresses, so they had this beautiful different shades of brown skin with the white dresses, and the white is beautifully neutral, just gorgeous. And I'm going, this is very, very impressive. I shot the Ghirardelli sign at Ghirardelli Square that has a bunch of flowers around it. And so the sign is colorful, the flowers are colorful. Give me a chance to look at all of that stuff. And then I was over at the Palace of Fine Arts, and I was shooting the structures there. I know those tones. I know how those tones are supposed to reproduce. They were beautiful. So I was very impressed with the color of the JPEGs right out of the camera. The RAW files were very workable. You could recover shadows, highlights, all that kind of stuff. Do subtle adjustments on color. Everything that you'd want to do with a RAW file. In Lightroom, they behaved beautifully. I have one shot, a portrait that I took out on the street, mainly because this guy was walking around with a duck. He had a satchel with the duck was in the satchel with his head out. And this guy's walking around, and I go, I got to take this shot. I went over and asked him. He let me take a portrait. So the guy had a pink stocking cap, had these kind of cool reflective orangish sunglasses. Had kind of a mauve sort of colored shirt, had a green satchel with a duck sticking out of it. And I took that picture pretty close. And in that shot, you know, with the 14-42, the background was a little busy. And this is something that you run into sometimes with Micro Four Thirds, where the background, you know, there's a little too much depth of field. And I didn't have time to really kind of fool around and get what I wanted. In terms of camera settings, he was going to give me a couple seconds and that was it. And I ended up shooting it at, let me look here, see, it's at f9. But I think even if I had gone down to 4.5 or whatever, I think it still would have been a busy background. This is where Lightroom's lovely, where I just use the blur background tool, essentially one click, and then you can tweak the background to the amount of blurriness that you want. And it worked perfectly on this file. So the one time that, you know, where maybe the Nikon ZF would have been nice, the OM3 was fine because I have these tools in Lightroom that are just fantastic and easy to use. Let me tell you some of the other things I tested here. The computational photography button cannot be understated how useful it is, because a lot of times I have to say I have shied away from using those features on Olympus cameras because I forgot where they were in the menu. Now all I have to do is push that button, rotate the front dial, and I can just scroll through all the computational photography features available to me at that moment. And it's fantastic. For instance, I put the camera in manual mode and went to Live ND at the palace because they have the fountain there with the lake and all the ducks and everything. I switched over to do a long exposure on the fountain in a matter of seconds. Took a couple of those shots and then switched back to regular program mode without that and then took other shots. And honestly, it was bang, bang. High resolution handheld, where you go from 5,000 whatever on the longest side in terms of pixels to 8,000 whatever on the long side pixels, easy peasy. And so on the landscape shots where I didn't have to worry about motion or anything, I took those shots in high res mode zoom in, zoom in, zoom in. They are just absolutely beautiful. Easy to do, really fast. Don't need a tripod. There is a tripod mode for it, and you can go even more resolution. But the handheld, just using good camera technique, holding technique, works fantastic. And it's all accessible through that button. So I was just having a blast using computational photography. I've used it more on that one day than I've ever used in a single day before because it was so easy to use. Then I started working the front dial. So I did some art filters. I did dramatic tone mono at the palace because those structures are just so perfect for black and white. I did some family portraits of Teresa and the boys in black and white. And of course, I'm using the mono mode that looks like Tri-X because I love that mono mode, right, on the camera. And you're probably going, well, which one is that? Well, let me tell you right now, I got the camera right here because it may have changed from what it was before. Because why? Because we have more mono modes now. The one that I used was Mono 2. Mono 2 is the one that, which I believe is the same as on the Pen F, is the one that is the Tri-X emulation, even though they don't say that. Oh, and those shots are just fantastic. I was just playing around with all the different effects, all the different things I could do. It was seamless and easy. You know, you have the front dial for the black and white effects and for the art filters. You have the CP button for all the computational photography stuff. And I didn't even get to video. But we have the slow and quick video setting, which I'll talk more about in another podcast. I didn't even have a chance to get to all the video stuff on this trip. As I'm scrolling through the pictures here, I have to say it was just a gorgeous shoot. I'm thrilled with the JPEGs. I'm thrilled with the RAW files. Thrilled with having all the different effects in this shoot. So that, you know, if I wanted a black and white portrait, it was easy to do. If I wanted to slow down the flowing water, it was easy to do. All that kind of stuff. And at the end of the day, I was not tired. Because I just carrying this camera around that weighs very little and that's very compact. And as I mentioned, I didn't even have to carry an extra battery because the battery life is so good. Now I'll run a couple pictures from the day in the show notes. I also have in the show notes a link to the camera, the OM3, a link to the 14 to 42 easy zoom, which I highly recommend with this camera. The picture quality is beautiful, and especially for street and travel photography. And you have a range of 28 millimeters on the wide end to 84 on the long end. And then if you use the 2X, then that goes up to 168 millimeters, all with one lens. And then you get the easy auto open cap, and you don't even have to fool around with lens caps, protection filters, none of that stuff. None of that stuff, because the easy cap just takes care of all of that. That's the lens that I recommend. So I have the link to that and the easy cap as well in the show notes. Bottom line, I have this camera for a month. And then I have the decision to make. After this one shoot, I'm going, what can I sell to keep this camera? I'm already thinking about that because I liked it on paper. But now that I've had just one shoot with it, I'm going, I cannot see not having this camera for the kind of work that I do. I think this is an instance where the sum of the parts just make it something completely better than I anticipated. And even though the price is substantial with this, $1,999, for what you get with it, I'm feeling less concerned about the price than I was when I was just studying the specs on paper and sitting there in Zoom meetings watching the various demonstrations. I'll keep you posted on what I do, but at the moment, I do not feel like letting this camera go. The iPhone and Compact Camera Photography with Mobile Processing Online Workshop begins this Thursday. It's coming up this Thursday. We have a great crew signed up for this workshop already. I have a couple open seats. If someone wants to last minute join us, I'm going to be covering the OM3, obviously. We're going to be covering the iPhone 16 and the iPhone 15 both. We're going to be using the iPad for mobile processing. We're going to be using some of my favorite software for the iPad for mobile processing. And then we're going to talk about how do we integrate the iPhone, your favorite camera, and there are a lot of great compact cameras out there. And how do we integrate this into a seamless system where all you're doing is like what I was doing in San Francisco. I have my iPhone in my pocket. I have the, in this case, the OM3 in my jacket pocket. And then I have the iPad mini if I want to stop in Starbucks and do a little processing and do a little playing. And then I have everything I need. All of that without a camera bag. So that workshop's coming up this Thursday. For those of you who are joining me on Thursday, I can't wait to get started on this event. If you want to sign up, just go to thenimblephotographer.com or click on the workshops tab at the Digital Story. It's right there and you can sign up and join us. Let's cover a little camera industry news. There's two things that I want to talk about this week. The first one is on Lens Rentals. They have an article, Finding the Best Compact Travel Camera in 2025. I'm always curious about what other people recommend in this category, in part because I have such strong feelings about it myself, right? And the three cameras that they were covering in this one is the Sony ZV-E1, the Fujifilm X100 VI, and the Leica D-Lux 8. So they're comparing these three cameras for travel photography. And they do a nice job. They go over all the different details. They have nice pictures of the camera. And I want to tell you a little story about the Fujifilm X100 VI. So I'm at the Palace of Fine Arts with this photo shoot with my OM3, you know, walking around with the family. I was taking some shots of them. This is when I was doing some of the black and white work with the OM3. And this young couple comes up to me and they're going, oh, would you like the shot of the four of you? And you go, yes, of course. Great. So I hand them my iPhone to do that because I didn't want them to have to fool around with any settings. So he takes a shot with my iPhone and it turned out well. He had a nice eye. And then he goes, would you mind doing a shot of the two of us? And you have the lake behind him and then, you know, the big structures from the palace. It was really gorgeous. And so I love to. So he hands me a Fujifilm X100 VI. I go, okay, I'm down with this. No strap, no neck strap, no wrist strap, nothing. Just hands me the VI. So I'm kind of, you know, looking at how he has it set up. All right, I got this. And so I was shooting with it. I was taking pictures of the two of them with it. And I could have just gone into a whole shoot right there playing with that camera. But I said, I complimented him on his camera. I go, this is a very nice camera. You must, you know, have some idea what you're doing here. And he goes, no, I'm just having fun. And, you know, that's my travel camera. And I'm going, right on, dude. Right on. Good choice. So that real life experience validates what they're talking here in the Lens Rental blog. But the Sony, the Fujifilm, and the Leica D-Lux 8, they're all great cameras. If you want to learn a bit more about them and how they compare, this article is very good. The link is in the show notes. The Brutalist wins Best Cinematography at the Oscars 2025. Just watched the Oscars last night. It was a pretty darn good show, and I loved how so many independent film projects, won last night. That was tremendous. The Brutalist being one of them. The Brutalist was also shot with film. And so let me read you a little bit about what Petapixel has to say. This is an article by Matt Grokut, and the link is in the show notes. The Brutalist has taken home the Academy Award for Cinematography at the 2025 Oscars ceremony, making it the second year in a row a movie shot on film won the award. The 3.5-hour epic starring Adrian Brody follows the story of a Hungarian Jewish architect as he looks to rebuild his life in the United States following the Holocaust. It is shot on VistaVision film, a higher resolution widescreen variant of the 35mm motion picture film. It was then finished on 70mm, making for a stunning viewing experience in IMAX theaters. VistaVision was created in 1954 by Paramount Pictures engineers. Unlike traditional vertical 35mm format, it runs film horizontally through the camera. This allows for a larger frame size, capturing an image that is 8 perforations wide, the space between the sprocket holes, compared to the standard 4 perforations in the vertical format. Lowell Crawley is the cinematographer for The Brutalist and picked up the Oscar in Los Angeles on Sunday night. Crawley grew up in Wales, United Kingdom, and praised his home country during his acceptance speech. The relatively low-budget movie, around $10 million, was shot in just 34 days. Crawley tells The Hollywood Reporter that he is very conscientious of time, and there's a link to his interview in this article. Crawley says the film's director, Bradley Corbet, is a very pragmatic director who doesn't shoot a lot of coverage, and he doesn't give himself a lot of options. Basically, what you see in the movie is what we shot. He really knows what he wants, and some of the most pivotal scenes in the movie are shot in one shot. So I haven't seen The Brutalist yet. It's next on my list. I've been working my way through the nominated films, have enjoyed most of them, and I'm looking forward to watching The Brutalist. Unfortunately, I think I'm going to see it at home on my big LCD and not in the theater. But if I find it in the theater, I'm going to go, because this year I saw almost half the movies nominated for Best Picture in the movie theater, and I have to say that it was well worth it, and I would love to find The Brutalist there as well. Okay, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. 3 things I want to talk about right away. We're recording the TDS Moments for our 1,000th episode. I have more interviews coming up this Friday. If you want to join us, if you have a testimony, if you want to do a mini interview, if you have a moment over the years that just stands out at you that you want to share with this audience, this big audience, then all you have to do is go to the link that's in the show notes. That'll take you directly to the calendar. And you can sign up for a time on Fridays, and we'll get together on Zoom and we'll talk about your TDS moment, and I'll record it. I'm just telling you, this is a fun thing, and I hope you can be a part of it. I want to give a shout out to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support this effort week in and week out. I'm so pleased being a part of the Inner Circle myself. Even though I'm the ringleader, I'm also a member, and I get to enjoy all the benefits that every other member would, which is seeing the wonderful pictures, following the conversations, chiming in when I feel moved to. It just feels so good to be a part of something that is so warm and creative and intelligent. And that's what the Inner Circle space is on Derek's Story Online. If you want to join us, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. You can sign up there, and then I will send you all the information and get you going right away, or at least as soon as I can. Sometimes a few hours passes before I see the email. And once you're up and running with us, I think you will thoroughly enjoy it. And a big thanks to our Inner Circle members for supporting this podcast. And finally, a shout out to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. I cannot wait to print some of these pictures that I captured with the OM3 already. Just for my one day in San Francisco, I have a bunch of stuff I want to print, and I'm sure there's going to be more coming down the pike. And being able to look at prints from a camera is a whole nother way, a terrific way to evaluate the images, how you feel about them. You see things that you don't see on a computer screen or on the back of the camera or on your iPhone. Printing just sort of takes the image to another place, a beautiful place, and a place where you can enjoy it in a much different way. And the folks that help make that possible are the folks at Red River Paper. They have the paper you need. They have the information you need. And all you have to do is click on the tile that's on every page of the digital story. It'll take you to our landing page. There you can use the code for free shipping. Get yourself some paper. Look at your images in a fresh, new, very artistic way. I think you'll love it. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for sponsoring this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I have to tell you, I'm pretty excited about the OM3. More news to come next week. Until then, get out there, take some pictures. Have a great week. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.